Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we have the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. I was speaking last week about her on her birthday and speaking about her absolute givenness to God. Be it done unto me according to thy word. That's why we honor her, for her obedience to Christ, her obedience to God the Father, and that the Holy Spirit dwelt within her. Brothers and sisters, God has so much grace for us, so much help for us. But we say, oh, I don't like that, or I don't know what I think about that, or I can't identify with this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's not up to you primarily. You're not the source. You give consent, but you're not the source. The source is the very wisdom of God, the very heart of God, the mind, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you from the moment of baptism. And that Holy Spirit is there both to love you and to show you the pathway that you might come safely home to Him. So today, honor her. Blessed are you, said the opening or the entrance antiphon for today's liturgy. Blessed are you, O Virgin Mary, by the Lord God Most High, above all women on the earth, for He has so exalted your name that your praise shall be undying on our lips. Think of that. Comes from the book of Judith. Think of that. Commentary from Magnificat says this: our salvation began when an archangel speaks the name of Mary. To be Christian is to carry on that annunciation unceasingly. St. Louis de Montfort wrote that the salvation of each individual is bound up with the Hail Mary, be it done unto me according to thy word. This prayer that names the holy name of the Mother of God brought to a dry and a barren world the fruit of life. It will cause the Word of God to take root in the soul and bring forth Jesus. I speak so much about the Word of God. It's the grace that the Blessed Mother, through her, that grace comes to us. God is the origin, but it comes through her because she was so totally given, so totally shaped and formed by the will of the Father. That's what we're all called to. Eventually, we'll get there. But call upon her, ask for her help. Ask her to give you a love of her Son. Ask her to pray for you that you may love the Father as she does and was obedient to God's will, no matter what it cost her, and it cost her everything. But the joy is everlasting. Pain is forgotten. Let's take a look at the first reading from Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brothers and sisters, in giving this instruction, I do not praise the fact that your meetings are doing more harm than good. Think about our parish meetings. First of all, I hear that when you meet as a church, there are divisions among you, and to a degree, I believe it. There have to be factions among you in order that also those who are proved among you may become known. This is a good way to have the argument, to have the discussion, to sort it out, so we find out where the wisdom really is. We find out where the truth really is. When you meet in one place, then, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own supper, and one goes hungry while another gets drunk. Do you not have houses in which you can eat and drink? So he's speaking about some kind of customs they had at that time. Or do you show contempt for the church of God and make those who have nothing feel ashamed? What can I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this matter, I do not praise you. Paul was very clear. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Apparently, they were having prayer, but they were also eating food, and they weren't sharing food, and they were, again, selfish, just thinking of themselves like we all do. And Paul is contrasting the supper that the Lord laid before us from what we do in our own selfishness. Do you share what you have? The goods of the earth that you have, do you share them with others? Do you really reach out to others? Not just give them things, but give them in a way with an open heart that indicates you're relating to them personally. You're not, I'm out to do a good deed, and you never even look at the people that you're giving things to. There's so many angles to this, brothers and sisters, but we need to give to one another as we would to God. We need to give with all heart, that the poor may experience the presence of Christ. That's what happens when we give to the needs of others for the right reasons. And most of all, don't we want to bring the poor to the Eucharist? Don't we want to bring them there? Ask God, especially in this year of mercy, but every day of your Christian life, how can I serve the poor around me? They may be physically poor, materially poor, intellectually poor. They're God's children. How do I serve them? Psalm 40, proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. We proclaim what God has done for us. Until he comes, we proclaim what he did for us, what he sacrificed for us in giving us his own life. Horrible, horrible death. And he did that so that you and I might have access to heaven. And the gospel is the gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. So here was a centurion who had slaves. He could order them about. He could dispose of them. He could retain them. They were his. But look what he did. He spoke to Jesus. He had a slave who was ill and about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. Isn't that interesting? That he believed in this itinerant preacher. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, he deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation. He built the synagogue for us. So here's a man who is generous. And Jesus went with them. But when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion's friends to tell him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. That's become incorporated into the Mass. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and let my servant be healed. Let me be healed. This is a prayer that has gone down through the ages. It was simple. It was clear. It was straightforward. I am not worthy. He realizes his own deficiencies in the face of all holiness, even if he doesn't fully recognize him yet. He sees a holiness, and it affects him. Therefore, I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word. Let my servant be healed. For I, too, am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come here, and he comes. And to my slave, do this. And he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. He was amazed at him and, turning, said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Here's a man who, because he's under authority and because he exercises authority, he has a certain admiration for this man who seems to be accomplishing many good things. People are healed, demons are driven out. So he takes someone whom he loves and he goes to the Lord on his behalf. And the Lord answers him. Brothers and sisters, I think it's very, very important to take stock frequently, very frequently, on how my faith is being lived out. How is my faith being lived out? It's so central. Faith is the central piece that needs to be in place in our minds and our hearts and our spirits. It's the time on this feast of the Holy Name of Mary. It's time to ask her, "Pray for us, Mary. Pray for us." That we might respond to the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we might respond to the gifts as you responded, that we might respond to the grace that you desire to give us, that you desire to pray for us to receive from your Son. That's an act of humility. Do you value it enough? As a very young person, I thought, yes, faith, hope, and love, I could define them. They were basic virtues, virtues that I needed. They were actually gifts from God, and they were given to me in baptism and confirmation. Was I living out of them? It actually took until I was an adult, a young adult, but an adult, to pray frequently, "Lord, increase my faith, increase my hope, increase my love." God hears those prayers. The Lord is asking of us that we will follow him, that we will be obedient to him, as masters expect of their slaves. And I'm not saying we're slaves, although there's a good sense in which we could be that. But I am saying that we need to be in a position where we really want to hear the Lord, believe that the Lord wants to lead us, guide us, asking the Holy Spirit make us attentive, asking the Holy Spirit to increase our faith and our hope and our love, that we might be more and more a disciple of Jesus Christ. When Jesus saw the faith of that centurion, he said he was amazed. And turning, he said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." What he's talking about is a living faith, a faith that believes, "I've seen you do this. I know you can do it. Will you do it for my slave?" God wants to hear our prayer, but we need to bring that prayer to him. We need to ask with confidence, with peace in his love. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can receive my free booklet by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. From there, select radio, then select food for the journey, and you'll find a great deal of information available to you. God bless you.